very simply has never beaten himself. He always finds a way to move past his bad moments or his moments where he doesn't quite meet his own standards, and goes back to a process that has worked for him consistently. And that process would have changed and evolved over the years as he has changed and evolved. But he just has remarkable self-discipline and a capacity to stay on task for himself and for his team. That's why he's been a great player, and that's why he's been a great leader.
Nathan Buckley, the coach of the Magpies, talking about Scott Pendlebury there, who tonight breaks the Magpies all-time games record, an all-time games captain record as well. And speaking of lots of games and captain of the Magpies, Nick Maxwell is one of those. Will be remembered forever as the 2010 Premiership captain of the Pies. He joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Maxi.
G'day, Half. G'day, boys.
Great to have you with us on game day, too, for you guys. You've got the power tonight, of course. But Pendles, you handed the reins over to Scott Pendlebury. You would have known up at that time that he was the right man to lead the footy club. But has he even exceeded your expectations about how unbelievably consistent and magnificent he's been through his AFL career?
Oh, certainly as a player, you think at some stage he's going to have a string of bad performances, but it just doesn't seem to happen. I mean, you see it with all great players, they can't do it every single week. But this guy, I think it's 10 or 11 years he's finished in the top three in the best and fairest. And to have that level of consistency is just unbelievable. And probably for me, the thing that I've loved watching the most is his development as a leader. I think when we sort of handed the reins over, he was the best player in the team. And the leadership stuff was what he had to work on. And I think that watching that evolve over the years has been something. I've been really proud of him, the way he's gone about that and the way he's continued to give to his teammates and help his teammates make them better. So that's whether it be grabbing someone and doing weights gym with them, doing extra touch with someone, whether it's just going for a coffee with them, or obviously out in the field bringing others into the game. So he's certainly been outstanding, and his growth's been huge.
Yeah, he's taken all before him. What makes him great? Maxie, give us an insight into how he operates, how he ticks.
I just think everything he does, he wants it to be absolute elite, like the highest possible standard. So if he's doing a training session and he misses the handball or misses the kick, he makes sure he follows that up and nails that the next time round. And he won't sort of he wouldn't leave the track unless he'd made sure he'd got everything right and ticked every box. I think even with his watching vision of the opposition and seeing what they're going to do and how they play, he wants to make sure that he knows exactly what they're doing and what they might throw at him. Even when you look at his diet, like his diet is unbelievable, the way he eats, and you can see how chiseled he is. It's just so impeccable to elite with everything he does. So I just think his standards are probably across the board as high as I've ever seen.
Maxi, what about the person that he is? Because we don't, he's not that sort of in your face on social media. You don't see him doing double spread articles in the paper or on TV very much. But what about him as a person? Clearly he's a driven person, but away from the field, how is he?
Yeah, he's obviously he's very popular with his teammates, and I think that what you probably don't see is that bit of a larrikin side to him. You only see the real serious side public.
Oh, no. Oh,
he's take the pee out of himself.
Sorry, mate, you just dropped out there. You're back.
Sorry.
It's cool.
Yeah, he's happy to I guess, be the butt of the jokes, but also he's happy to have plenty of jokes and make sure he stitches up teammates with pranks and stuff. So that side of him you don't really see unless you're inside the bubble. But, yeah, that's certainly a part of his life. But we'd love to see it publicly so that everyone else can see that part of him. But I think he likes that serious side a little bit too much in a public sense. So it would be nice to bring that out. We'll see what we can do.
It's a bit late.
Yeah. Now, usually when we're talking a player that, breaking games records and breaking most games as captain, we're talking about that player almost coming to the end of their career. But it still feels like that he's got a number of seasons left in him.
Oh, 100%. And I think that when you look at him and the way he plays, probably the thing, if I'm picturing Scott Pendlebury playing a game of footy, he just seems to find space and time slows down around him. Everyone else slows down and he just makes decisions that brings people into the game. So he doesn't rely on speed. He doesn't rely on agility. He doesn't rely on high flying or anything like that. He just relies on being able to get to a position and read what the opposition are doing and how they're moving around him and buys himself space. So I think because of that and because he's been so impeccable with the way he's looked after his body, I think he'd certainly go for three or four more years, which would be great to see because, as I said, he brings other people into the game and his knowledge out in the game is really important for our footy club.
I've got two questions for you, Nick, about Scott. What did you think when he first moved into Collingwood? Because he sort of vaulted up late in the draft, in sort of the latter part of his under 18 year, that he was this basketballer that turned to football and then all of a sudden became this very skillful footballer and then found himself in the top five in the draft. What do you think when he first arrived at the club?
Yeah, well, he came through with Dale Thomas. I think Daisy was pick two and Pendles was pick five, and Daisy was sort of that ball of energy, life of the party, and he just kicked, I don't know what he kicked, but he kicked a heap of goals, and I think his best on ground in the grand final at TAC Cup. So it was a very public, person in terms of the way he went about it and very in your face. So Pendles was complete opposite. So we didn't see much of him. And in that first year, he also got glandular fever, and he was knocked out for a large percentage of that year. So we didn't really see much of him or see that development. And then as he came in that next year, that's probably when we started to actually go, oh, hang on, he does one or two little nice things. You know, okay, that looks all right. And hope we can see a bit more of that. And then there's a little bit more, and then there's three or four the next time. He just kept building on it and kept improving. So I think at the same time, his confidence started growing. And having, at the time, Buckley and Burns and those quality midfields around him meant that he could actually grow in those roles, and he could learn from those guys who were, around the footy a lot, to feed out to him, and he could actually be a bit more of an outside player as he grew as a player before he could be a player. So it wasn't an overnight sensation like, I guess, Daisy was a little bit more, but, yeah, obviously his growth's been huge in that position.
And you talk about his leadership, and obviously it's your sort of expertise now, really, and being a premiership captain as you've been at Collingwood. Is it something that he, to improve, did he come to you or come to others and say, I want to be a better leader? Did it happen naturally? Or did someone have to sit him down and say, Scott, you've got so much more to give as a leader, not just being a brilliant footballer? How did that sort of happen?
I think a lot of it was naturally, remember? And I think a lot of that was because he was vice-captain or in the leadership group from sort of the age of 21, 22. So he spent a lot of time in leadership meetings around guys a lot older than him and actually hearing what they were talking about, what the issues were. And he's gone on his own journey. And I'm sure, hopefully, at some stage, I might have helped him out along the way, but I know a lot of people would help him out. But again, a lot of that is actually just his genuine want to be the best he can at whatever he does. And part of that, I think, is his leadership, because at the start, he was probably a little bit more, and like any young player coming through, you're a lot more about getting yourself right, making sure you perform well, and you're not really looking outside of yourself and what you need to achieve. And then as you grow and you become a better player, you become more confident, you start bringing others into the game on the field, but then also off the field. And I think that that's something that didn't happen overnight for him. It wasn't natural to him, but it's something that he's grown into. And you see even now at times, he'll come to us, so Marcus Wagner and myself, at the bench at half-time or quarter-time or three-quarter-time and go, I'm going to start so-and-so in. And a lot of the time he's doing that because he wants to give them confidence, or they've just had a bad moment. He wants them to go straight back in. So he does little things like that people wouldn't know, but subtly he's looking out for his teammates that way.
Now, Maxie, what about your other leader in Steel Sidebottom? How difficult logistically was that going to be for him and his partner and a new baby to potentially get to Queensland at some stage?
Yeah, I think in the end, we did everything we possibly could, but it was going to be mission impossible. And a lot of that was probably because we just don't know what next week looks like for us. So obviously, if we can't win tonight, we have to go to Perth. So that would have ruled him out of that game. And if we had won, then we don't know what day it was going to be and what day he would get out of his isolation. So in the end, he was going to be taking a big risk with a young child and his wife, who's obviously just given birth. So in the end, I think it was just going to be too hard. So disappointing for us, but at the same time, we feel we've got everyone we need to go deep in this final series. So, other guys get an opportunity that they've had throughout the last month when Steele hasn't been there, and we expect them to stand up and do the job for us.
You confident tonight, Maxie?
Yeah, absolutely, Half. We feel that our best footy is as good as anyone's, and we drew with Richmond, we beat Geelong. We feel that we should have beaten the Lions, but they sort of hung tough in that last quarter against us. So we think that against the better teams, we've got a really good record, and Port have obviously shown that they are as good as anyone out there. So it's going to be a big challenge for us, but we feel if we play our best, absolutely we can win.
All right, it's a big game tonight to finish off the home and away season. Port Adelaide and Collingwood, check your local guide, see Nick Maxwell's boys in action, and see Scott Pendlebury become an all-time great, not that he wasn't already, for the Collingwood Football Club. Thank you, Maxie. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
Always nice to chat to Nick Maxwell, 2010 Premiership Captain Whitey.